to Spiritual Gardening. I am your host, Mike, and today I have a very special guest, actually the first guest for the podcast, and this is Charisse from her podcast, The Existential Ginger. Welcome, Charisse.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's fun to be here.
Great. So sort of what caught my eye, and I'll just kind of go a little bit of a backstory on how I found your podcast. There's a sort of a new platform called Wildcast, and it's sort of aimed at podcasters who are looking to get guests on their show and that sort of thing. And I started looking at other podcasts that are kind of a similar genre than that what I'm trying to go for. And I thought your story was really interesting, and I did listen to I did finally get through a full episode while at work, of course. It was the one about your existential crisis. I think that was a really
that's a good one to listen to if you're going to listen to one.
Exactly. I thought it was a really, really good episode, and really kind of touches. It probably touches a lot of what other people experience who are kind of having where their faith is really being sort of tested and whatnot. Now, for me, my faith really was never really tested because I've always been kind of, well, I never really went to church and didn't really have any sort of sense of direction. So for me, it was kind of like, you know, I'm in my 30s and I need to start figuring out this sort of space where I'm at. Like that's why I've kind of explored. I've been exposed to like more pagan religions than say Christian. So I'm coming from, I guess, a kind of a different viewpoint, but.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I guess one of the questions I have, I think it'd be more appropriate if you talk about maybe yourself and a little bit about your podcast and how you kind of got into podcasting.
Oh, geez. Yeah, this is a great question and I never know where to start with it. So a little bit about myself. I grew up in Northern Utah, Rocky Mountains, ski resorts, Great Salt Lake. That was home. And I grew up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which most people know as the Mormon Church. There are a lot of stereotypes around Mormonism, like, you know, that we kind of dress like the Amish or that we marry our dads and stuff like that. Those stereotypes are not true, but there are a lot of very strict and very arguably strange beliefs within Mormonism, such as drinking coffee is a sin. So I was born and raised in that religion. I was a multi-generational Mormon, just meaning that, like, as far back as, you know, we have family records, there was Mormons. I got married in the Mormon church when I was 21. I married a childhood friend. And marriage is a really big deal in Mormonism. It's the whole part of God's plan is to get married and have children. So I never really thought, like, should I get married? Should I marry this person? It was just, this person's Mormon and we get along. And so we should get married because that's God's plan, right? So got married, long story short, it was not a good marriage. It was very toxic for both of us. And we ended up getting divorced. And our divorce was kind of the catalyst for me to question a lot of things about the religion, a lot of things about the culture that I'd been raised in. And I ended up leaving the religion right in the middle of getting divorced. And then another long story short, too late, I know. But I ended up taking a job on the East Coast and I moved a little over 2 years ago. So now I live outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I would definitely be in trouble with the whole coffee drinking because I, oddly enough, I've kind of gotten really deep into the whole coffee bit where I've been roasting my own coffee and all that. So I'd be in really big trouble there.
Oh, I love coffee now, but yeah, it's a very strange, and it's never, even when I was a devout Mormon, it was never really clear. I think it's just one of those, obedience principle things. It doesn't really make logical sense.
Now, like, so coffee was banned. Was tea also kind of on the not something you were allowed to consume, or is it just like caffeine in general?
So this is where it gets really complicated. So coffee and tea are not okay, even if they're iced. Now, some people will argue that like an herbal tea or like a Theraflu or something is okay. But soda is fine. Energy drinks are fine.
Interesting.
So again, like there really is no logic, because a lot of people just assume like, oh, it might be a health reason or because of the sugar that sometimes comes with coffee or the caffeine, but no, yeah. It doesn't make sense.
That's interesting. So yeah, I did listen to that episode, and I would suggest, everyone's really wanting to get the full story, I would definitely go check out the Existential Ginger, check out her podcast, and definitely listen to that episode, because I don't really want to, obviously I don't want to, like, you know,
rehash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'm more interested in the philosophical side of things. Like what people's, I guess, view of the universe is, or what their, like, thoughts are on a God or a deity or, meaning a life. Those questions that are really pretty much impossible to answer. So I guess one of the questions, now you've left Christianity. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
So you're more of like an agnostic sort of. Okay.
Yes. I classify myself as optimistically agnostic right now.
Okay. That's interesting. And that's kind of where I'm at, is like, because, even though I've read a lot of stuff, I've read, a few books on paganism, just kind of getting like the general lay of what paganism is, at least in modern terms. But, I think a lot of folks, when they start discovering something new, like a pagan religion or Wicca or whatever it is, and maybe it's just me, but I felt like I want to have this big, this big awakening. And, that's not really how it works. It's just more questions, and it's really just feel kind of lost, or at least that's how I sort of felt. And I'm curious to see like kind of like what your beliefs are currently, or maybe the lack thereof, or sort of like what you're questioning right now.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm questioning everything right now. I mean, that's essentially why I started the podcast, is I wanted to explore openly this new path of spirituality, if we even want to call it that. And I wanted to elevate other people's voices that are kind of in a similar situation as me. In terms of what I believe right now, there's so much that I don't know. And it's weird, because when I was a devout Mormon, I felt like I had all the answers. I felt like there was so much certainty, there was so much knowledge, so much truth, right? And now I don't really have any of that, but it's very ironically comforting.
Right.
Like, it's just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. And isn't that great? Because I don't have to know, and I don't have to have it figured out. And spoiler alert, I don't think everything has to have meaning. I think that we can just be curious about things. Sorry if you hear my cat.
Oh, that's all right.
I think we can just be curious about things, and even if we're just looking for meaning in things, that almost gives them meaning itself, if that makes any sense at all. I actually have dipped my toes into some paganism as well. I found myself getting very curious about other religions when I left Mormonism, because I had always been fed the narrative that other religions have pieces of the truth, but Mormonism was the only one that had the whole truth, right? So it started out with this kind of like, okay, well, what are the common themes in all religions or all philosophies or all spiritual paths? And then it kind of branched off from there. And it was, I started digging, and the more that I dug into paganism, I was like, holy shit, Christianity stole everything from the pagans.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was such a startling discovery. And I know maybe for a lot of people listening, you're like, yeah, duh. But that was like such a revelation to me, because just seeing the same themes in Christianity pop up in like pantheon after pantheon after, you know, in different pagan deities, I was like, those bastards, like they just.
It was really interesting because I just did a short episode about St. Patrick's Day, and I thought, and normally I just like dress in green, that's that sort of stuff, but I never really knew much of the history, and I started looking into him like, well, this is depressing.
it's a little sketch. He was a little sketch.
Mm-hmm. Right. And even though it was, he really wasn't responsible for, the conversion in Ireland, he kind of got credited for it, very much right. So. Even though that took, probably hundreds of years for all that to happen. But, that is a very common theme. And, a lot of the old religions, were lost to Christianity because, they were happy to kind of write down and document, a lot of things, but not about how they worship. They kind of, they obviously left that out because that kind of defeats the purpose if you're, telling people how to worship, other religions. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I think that's so heartbreaking, like how much of spiritual history and religious traditions is lost just right. because Christians decided it wasn't valuable or decided to copycat it.
And I guess where my spirituality or where my beliefs kind of look at, I kind of have a sort of, I want to say an obsession, but I try to like look at like the scientific side of things. Right. That was just fun. Right. So, when you start getting into like the whole bit about quantum mechanics and all this stuff, but I've learned, I'm like, you should probably be careful with that because I don't know quantum mechanics any better than what's explained in a Nova episode. So I think it's kind of a good way to have that point of view, but I also feel like it is also limiting because, can you really imagine a point in time because can you imagine where there's a point in which time does not actually exist because the way science sort of explains it is, well, time didn't exist until the Big Bang started. So, it gets really philosophical on that aspect. But I think a lot of times, especially with a lot of documentaries that you find like on Amazon, they really drive home a lot of the science, which most people don't understand. Most people don't really go into quantum mechanics and the Big Bang theory. They just kind of, they see it in, some of the documentaries and, and that's it. And, it does make me wonder, I also kind of wonder about the, about whether or not when people, like people tend to give God or whatever deity that it is that they believe, they kind of give him like human characteristics, like human emotion. Mm-hmm. For all we know, God, it may be something completely incomprehensible to us in terms of a being, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't remember which philosopher said it, but something to the effect of that we weren't created in God's image, but man creates God in man's image.
Right.
And that's a good one. I think there's definitely some truth to that, particularly patriarchal religions. I could go off so many tangents about white Jesus, but that in and of itself, I think, is proof that we just paint a picture of whatever is the elite status, whatever is the most desirable, and that's who God is.
Right. That makes sense. And and there is like a lot of the old art, like you'll see God is kind of depicted this guy up in the clouds sort of view. And what do they call that? A transcendent God, I guess it's one way to look at it. There was a book, actually one of the books I read on paganism, they kind of have what they call the God map, where do you believe God is a permeating force or a transcendent God or not? It's kind of a neat way to look at it, but I don't know that it's really all encompassing. Because I think, a lot of people have their own thoughts of what they think, what they envision God is and what heaven is and all that. So what beliefs have you retained from being a Mormon, or have you retained any of them?
I don't know. I guess beliefs and values, I think, are kind of interchangeable for me. So there are certain values. Family is still very, very important to me. You know, there's a saying in the ex-Mormon community that nothing that's good about the church is unique to Mormonism. And I definitely think, unfortunately, that's true. So a lot of those core Christian values, you know, basically just don't be a dick human being, be a good person, right, serve other people, help the needy. Those things have definitely stayed with me. But as I said, you can't really attribute those things specifically to Mormonism either, although that is where I learned them.
Okay. And I do think there are, you know, obviously good people who are very, you know, very devout Christians. Take Fred Rogers. I mean, and he was, you know, and I never really gave much thought about what his religion, whether he was a Christian or not, but he was an ordained minister, and I think he was Presbyterian, not that it really matters, but you never heard him on his show, at least not that I can remember, like him trying to, you know, convert kids, like, come on, kids, you got to go to church or whatever. He was just genuinely, he really loved kids, and I think there are really good human beings who are Christian, and I think a lot of times, especially people who are like in the atheist community, really love giving the Christians the, yeah, they really love sticking it to them. And I think it's kind of unfair because the reality is, I think most people to some extent or another, including myself, are hypocrites. I mean, it's not just Christians are hypocrites. Everyone's a hypocrite. I've been in some of the Facebook groups that were like for the like pagan and Wiccan community, and it's the same. It's just, you know, people are people.
Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things that I've had to separate, because I do have so many loved ones, close family members, friends that are still very devout Mormon, is I've kind of had to separate the believers from the beliefs. And I know, you know, when I was a devout Mormon and someone would criticize the church or would say something that I felt was untrue about it, I took it personally because being a Mormon was such a huge part of my identity. So I understand why Christians and why religious people do take it personally. Right. And I completely validate them for that. But I do think that that distinction between the believer and the beliefs is important, because I would expect the same for people, you know, to respect me, but not necessarily respect my beliefs or my values.
Right. And that is something that probably a lot of people, especially those who are kind of like in my boat, who are kind of agnostic for the majority of their life, or who are just atheists or whatever, you know, growing up being Christian, you're being taught this stuff from a very young age, and it's very much hardwired into you, just like, you know, just like being, you know, being nice to strangers and whatnot. And also, not to go off on a tangent, but it's kind of, to me, this kind of struck me. So, you know, obviously, when I go to lunch, I usually hit fast food, which is probably terrible. Well, it is terrible. I mean, I've kind of,
I'm not here to judge.
Yeah. Like 2020 was not good to me. So,
it wasn't good to anyone. Right, so it's right. Okay.
So like, yeah, 2019, I lost 43 pounds, and 2020, I gained it back plus more. So it's like, well, we're back to square one. So
I feel,
yeah,
that.
Right. So I'm going through the drive through, and, the lady at the window recognizes me. So that should tell you like how often I go. So, and she just like, she just kind of out of the blue is like, you know, thank you for being so pleasant all the time. And I started wondering, I'm like, I'm being what I think is normal, because I think it's really bad to be mean to people who are making your food. And then I started wondering, like, are people that awful? I mean, are people just that shitty to, you know, random people? But I guess apparently there's some truth to that, but it's kind of heartbreaking at the same time. It's like, I mean, these are just people trying to get by and, working obviously at a, you know, working a crappy job. And I mean, the least you could do is like be respectful. But,
yeah. No, that's so interesting. I had a similar experience recently where, there was like a elderly man at a gas station trying to pay for his gas, and he wasn't understand. He wanted to pay cash, and he wasn't understanding why the pump wasn't allowing him to pump gas before he paid cash, right? And so he has a mask on. There's like a clear plastic barrier between him and the cashier. The cashier has a mask on because it's COVID, and they can't understand each other. They're like yelling and holding up the line. Oh. And so I finally stepped up and like helped this guy understand that, like, yeah, you have to prepay if you're going to pay with cash, and then you can come back and whatever you didn't use, she'll give you change, you know, the whole thing. And he thanked me, and the cashier thanked me, because everybody was really frustrated. And the man pats me on the back and says, "You're such a good Christian woman." And I just laughed because I was like, you know, he totally meant that as a compliment. And I'm going to take it as a compliment because that's how it was intended. But it just made me laugh because I wanted to be like, oh, if he only knew.
Right. I've made that mistake before, too, where I've assumed that somebody's kind of open to the fact that I'm not a Christian. And boy, like, oh, you're not saved? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, or just assuming like, oh, you did a good thing. You did good person things, so you must be a Christian. Right, it's like, oh, that's not really how that works, but
yeah, and that's crazy. And speaking of like the food industry, there was actually an article that came out about a lady who was fired from Panera Bread. Supposedly, their manager fired them because they were pagan or somehow they're yeah, it sounds like a real classic case, but then you start wondering like, well, how did this transpire exactly? Like the article kind of left out some holes in it, but otherwise it would sound like a really obvious case of religious discrimination, because obviously you cannot fire somebody because they're pagan or they're Jewish or Christian or whatever. But I also kind of wonder, like, how did this get out? Was the lady wearing a pentagram or something like that? Not that it matters, you know, it's no different than wearing a cross or, you know, whatever. At least from my perspective. But at the same time, I feel like there's always more to the story. And when I, you know, when I was 17, I did my time working at a fast food joint, and, it was awful. I mean, they would, you know, have you clock out and take all these, you know, 2-hour breaks because the labor's really high and all that sort of thing. It's a wonder I won't say the name of the restaurant, but it's a wonder they're still open because they are never busy anymore. In 2020, obviously, like when a restaurant closes at 6 o'clock, that's unusual.
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did a lot of unfair labor practices. And so I'm really pretty certain it's pretty widespread at other places. And I'm assuming Panera Bread's no different, but, I don't know if hopefully there'll be more that comes out about it, because I am kind of curious. And if it is indeed religious discrimination, I hope that they, justice is served for it, because that's obviously wrong. Yeah,
I feel like that would be really hard to prove. But I know when I kind of started putting my feelers out on my Instagram page, asking if I knew if there was anyone that followed me that was pagan or identified as a witch or anything like that. I had people reach out to me and they were like, but please don't share, you know, please don't share this message, or please don't like share my username and stuff. And I learned what the term broom closet means, when someone's in the broom closet, meaning that they're like practicing Wicca or practicing witchcraft or practicing paganism kind of like in the closet, because they're afraid that people will treat them differently if they find out
that,
you know, what they believe.
And that is sort of a concern of mine too. Although I do work at a secondary education, work in IT for that matter. But, even though it is a pretty progressive sector for the area, because a lot of folks who do work there are more liberal minded, than the surrounding community, but they're probably not that far to the left, or I would say most for the majority of them. But, and they're all good folks. I really do love my job. Great group of people, and I don't think I could really have landed a better place to work at. So if you're a coworker listening, I'm giving
not throwing shade.
Exactly. So yeah, that is something I do kind of worry about, especially out in public. You know, there's a lot of cool clothing and stuff that I would like, oh, that would be really cool if I wore that. But then I'm like, oh, or, you know, around here, that would probably not be good. I'd probably be getting all kinds of, nasty looks and remarks and whatnot. So do you currently believe in a god or any sort of deity right now? Or are you kind of like, eh?
Such a complicated question.
It is.
So I'll try to give you a complicated answer.
Okay.
I think that there... I've seen so much creation that I think there has to be some kind of a creator. Now, is that creator actually a spiritual being, or is it some kind of like a scientific metaphysical force? I don't know. I think there is some creator. But would I use the term God or deity in conjunction with my beliefs? No.
Okay.
I think the term God still just has very icky implications, for me personally. And, this certainly isn't the case for everyone. But for me personally, my relationship with God was somewhat abusive and codependent. And so that just has very, there's a lot of trauma there that I'm still kind of sifting through. So any sort of deities or any sort of, gods or goddesses is just not something that I am currently wanting to meddle with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel kind of the same way. And it's also sort of the same thoughts I have about, and I don't want to pick on Wiccans, but I'll use them as an example. A lot of them use like gemstones and crystals and herbs and things like that, because they believe that it has some sort of power or a certain type of energy that they can use with a spell or incantation of some sort. And from my perspective, I'm like, okay, so what is it? And being an IT guy and whatnot, I have this really analytical mind. Like, there has to be a explanation or there has to be something to it. And that is something I really struggle with. And I think that's probably why I never really adopted Christianity or anything else for such a long time. It's like, well, where's all the smoke and mirrors, with everything? And, yeah, so I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that stuff. So, and I kind of see it like, well, it's just a crystal. And I can see like quartz. Okay. Quartz has a little bit of a case because every phone, every watch has a little piece of quartz in it that they use to, generate the electricity to keep the time accurate. And it's, so there is some, sort of some, plausible arguments on, at least on that particular, at least on quartz anyway. Let's see. What else have I got here? I do believe that there is some sort of creator at some level. And like you said, whether it's a god or is it some sort of being that we, that is responsible, we don't know. And then again, if there is a god or a deity, do they care? Do they really care that we're here? Because after all, universe is insanely huge. Mm-hmm. And we're on this little tiny rock going around this little tiny sun, this little tiny star, and this little tiny galaxy of a sea of an unknown quantity of galaxies and a universe that is supposedly expanding faster than light, I think, at this point. Some theories suggest. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, well, what exactly are we here? Because after all, if it's like Carl Sagan kind of suggested, where we just, when we die, it's just a dreamless sleep for eternity, then, okay, what's it all for? What's this little blip of reality that we're able to enjoy, hopefully, for a while? So it just kind of makes me wonder, so what is the meaning of life, and what are you supposed to take from it? Because I turned 35 this summer, and it's like shit's going by pretty quick. When you look, it's like looking behind. It's like when you get to the top of the mountain, you look behind you, and like, wow, that you got all the way up here, and then it's like you look up and you realize you're almost to the top. So it's kind of a kind of messes with your with my head a little bit.
Yeah, I think mortality is such an interesting question. And I certainly don't have any of the answers. Oh. I really don't. But I think that since leaving a belief system where I was so sure that there was something beyond this life, now I'm so much more focused on this life. Like, I'm much more intentional with my time. I'm much more cognizant of how I'm treating my body, because I'm like, we don't really know. I mean, even if you are super convicted in your beliefs, we still don't know. We don't right. know. There's no hardcore concrete evidence that shows us that there is something after this. So, and I know that's like kind of terrifying, obviously, but also I think that just gives us an awesome opportunity to really live the shit out of this life.
Right. Exactly. I definitely think, well, and honestly, the fear of dying is kind of a major motivator, like, to start really evaluating your right. beliefs. Like, okay, because, you know, it starts, you start wondering, like, well, what if the people are right? You know, what if the Christians are right? What if I am destined to go to hell and burn in a fiery pit for all eternity? Because that's not cool.
So it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound fun.
Doesn't sound like a good time. But I also start thinking, like, where's the logic of a god or a deity of whatever it is that you want to believe? Where's the logic in, like, I want to send my creations that don't kiss my ass straight to hell? I mean, that's kind of the gist that I get from it. It's like,
right.
You don't worship me, you don't kiss my ass. Come on, screw you. It sounds like,
yeah.
Sounds like God is a bit of a Karen in some respect.
Wonderfully put. Yeah, I've really offended a lot of people by calling God a narcissist, but I just don't have another word for it.
Right.
He is like any God that turns a blind eye to destruction, pain, genocide, you know, murder, rape, the list goes on and on, but will kind of throw himself out of the bushes at these weird moments in time to make a point and then demand to be worshipped. I'm just like, if that was anybody else, like, we'd totally call him a narcissist.
Yeah, or a politician or something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It is an interesting point. And maybe, you know, we will burn in hell for being blasphemers. I don't know. But I just know, I think the whole point is to live your life as authentically right. and as best as you can. And I'll take up my case with God if it comes to that. I really will.
Yeah, I think that's the best that we can do. And I think in some way, you have to kind of like just kind of let go and and, you know, like you said, just live your life to the fullest. I've, you know, I wasted a lot of my life. I don't know. I just kind of fell into this 9-to-5 scene where I'm just obsessed with, you know, the job and all this stuff. And, you know, next thing you know, it's like when you're in that grind, you know, the daily grind and whatnot, time just flies so quickly. And you realize, like, I could be doing all these other things. So I try not to worry about all the financial issues and things that kind of come my way. And I just realized, well, you know, this stuff will either work itself out or it won't. And, you know, that's that. Of course, most of my problems are kind of self-inflicted, but that's kind of, that's just kind of, that's sort of my problem, I guess. enjoy way too many hobbies and not enough time to really enjoy them properly. I mean, I go in and out of hobbies like crazy. And I mean, it's good because I've done a lot of interesting stuff that I would say a lot of folks have not, you know, aren't able to do. There for a little bit, I was into aviation, kind of helped do flight simulators and whatnot. And I got to fly a plane a couple times and.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. But I've never been on a commercial flight, but I've been on a little Cessna, which that's scary as shit when you go to
land. I was going to say.
It's like you're like right above the trees and like you're going really slow and you gotta like make a corner to the runway and it's like you gotta like be at the right speed or you're gonna fall right out of the air.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's amazing.
So I'm like, grab the yoke. So yeah, it's definitely an adrenaline rush. For me, it causes a panic attack. So, so aviation, not for me. And it's also super expensive. I mean, it's, even if you get a rental or have a buddy who's got a plane, I mean, it's, you know, $80 an hour between fuel and all that sort of stuff. So if I was 20 instead of 35, I could see myself going into it because it does eventually pay pretty decent, but.
Right.
Yeah. But, I do kind of wonder about the possibility of like, what's your thoughts on the possibility of like life being on like on other planets or, UFOs, things like that? Or has that ever like really crossed your mind at all?
It's definitely crossed my mind. A little bit of the Mormon narrative still plays out for me. So the Mormon narrative is that God was once like us. Mm-hmm. And so there are, in theory, multiple gods with multiple earths with multiple creations, right? So I think that still plays out a little bit for me. Again, not necessarily with the God thing, but our universe is so giant and I just don't think it's realistic that we are the only life form in right. it. It just doesn't seem plausible or even realistic to me at all. Now, are those like little green men hanging out somewhere right. with super cool like Star Trek technology? I don't know. That'd be badass. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I guess it's kind of a, that's very similar to what my thoughts are. I feel like, okay, the universe is really huge. So there probably is life on other planets, perhaps intelligent life, perhaps similar life forms. Perhaps it's completely different. It's really, really hard to say, for sure, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think the limiting factor is simply if the speed of light is the fastest we can go, it ain't fast enough. It's like trying to walk to like, well, I'm like 2 hours from Atlanta, like 100 miles. It'd be like me trying to walk to Atlanta. It ain't possible. Or, well, put it this way, very unlikely. Very unlikely right. that I will walk to Atlanta. So I think if that's indeed the universal speed limit is speed of light, yeah, we're probably not going to see, encounter, other species from another planet anytime soon. The same goes with like trying to receive radio signals, you know, the SETI project and all that. I think it'd be very, very hard. You're kind of like literally looking for a needle in a haystack times 10.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's probably out there, but we'll probably never. And it's very likely that they're curious about the same things that we're curious about. Like, or is there other life out there? And perhaps there might be cases where you could have like a twins, you know, two planets with life on it, and maybe they go back and forth all the time. You never know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so mind blowing to think about stuff like that, or even just like different dimensions mm-hmm. or, cause I think we've all experienced things that we can't really explain. And that's where those types of thought processes come in. It's like, oh, maybe there is something more. And right. that it's those types of things that keep me from identifying as a full atheist, I guess I'll say.
Right.
Which a lot of my atheist friends joke with me that being agnostic is just a yield sign on the way to being an atheist. And right. I'm like, I might yield here for a while though, guys, like, let me have it.
Right. And I think that's, it's an interesting point too about, think about different dimensions and things. And this is really interesting. Have you ever heard of the YouTube channel Vsauce? Mm-mm. Oh, that is awesome. So one of the interesting points he kind of comes out with is like, the way our brains and, deal with color, it's all in your head. As far as color doesn't really exist in the real world. It's just something that our brains kind of put together. So the world makes sense to us, but his way of putting it is your red the same as my red? So when I see the color red, is it the same experience that you have when you look at something that's red? So it's interesting. It's kind of like the same paradox of like, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but trying to explain the concept of color to somebody who's never seen before. or what sound is to somebody who's been deaf since birth. So it's like trying to imagine a dimension or some sort of sensory perception that, we don't experience. Like, what if there is another way of, sensing something that we don't already sense. So we know we can see and smell and have vision and whatnot, but, could there be something, some other way of experiencing, reality that we just aren't capable of? That's,
I definitely think there's something to that. I mean, even within our own planet, we know that that's possible. I mean, my dog smells shit that I can't smell.
Right. And it's just like with bees seeing UV light and all that. Like, some of the flowers have actually patterns with, that they're only visible in UV light. So.
So crazy.
Pretty. Neat. So I think there is something to that. Trying to make sense of, like, is there really a creator, and is he like so concerned with us as far as like how we live our lives and whether we worship him or not or her? And I think, a lot of times maybe the idea of giving deity or deity, I'm not sure if it was, which was proper. I've heard it both ways, but,
tomato, tomato.
Right. Exactly. I think the wrong thing is probably to give deity, like a human characteristics. I think that's probably the wrong way to look at it. And I feel like if there is a creator and a being, that created us and the universe and everything else, I feel like we're kind of left to our own devices. Not so much because he doesn't give a shit, but it's also, I don't know, like, are we like an, it just kind of makes me circle around. It's almost like I need another spiritual awakening or something to really kind of piece it together. Because it kind of, I keep kind of coming full circle to it. It's like, again, like what is the purpose? And if the purpose, and like, it's something that Wiccans believe. They believe that we reincarnate. Like, we live life. Okay. You did better this time. Go around again. And until you learn whatever it is you're supposed to learn. And I don't know that I agree with that, because I feel like, well, you're never going to learn everything in life, because that's just the way it is. At the same time, life is incredibly unfair. Like, while I'm able to go eat fast food every day and live a comfy life in air conditioning, there is somebody that's starving in Africa, and that's kind of fucked up. That somebody would be dealt that bad of a hand. Or I forget what religion believes this, but where basically you choose your suffering of life, you choose like everything that's going to happen to you before you're born. And I forget where that is from.
Right. That's true to some degree in Mormonism. The more arguably quote unquote righteous people were dealt better hands in this life than the quote unquote unrighteous people. Which is kind of a shitty narrative, right? If you really think about it, like, that's kind of terrible.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's that cliche atheist argument of like, why do kids get cancer? Like, right. why do babies die? Like, exactly. Make it make sense. Because there's just nothing that feels divine and loving and good about those things. And so it is really hard to rectify that within ourselves, I think.
Right. That's, yeah. So I guess one other thing too, that we kind of jump in. So going from Utah to Pennsylvania, just like the culture shock between the two states, yes. Not just so much the religion aspect, but just how people are in Pennsylvania. Like so quick little side story. I went to, Connecticut to pick up a car, and I had to drive up Interstate 81, which was terrible. I hated Interstate 81.
Yes. Pennsylvania has terrible roads in general. Absolutely awful.
And, people don't like, it turns out that nobody likes Priuses, so go figure. Yeah. Nope. But yeah, this one dealer had like 20 of them on the lot, and I couldn't find anything down here in the Southeast. I mean, I looked at Texas, I looked in Florida. I mean, I was like, where are they at? So I want to buy this car, but anywho. So the culture shock, like, what was that like? How do you compare people from that are in Utah to those who are in Pennsylvania in terms of like just general, like going to the grocery store or whatever?
Yeah, it's definitely different. So where I live in Pennsylvania, it's outside of Philadelphia, but it is, I mean, essentially the country. It's Amish country. Mm-hmm. So it's very blue collar. And I grew up right outside of Salt Lake City, very mm-hmm. white collar. So that was probably the biggest change.
Oh, wow.
Is going from, you know, everybody that I knew had office jobs to everybody here works with their hands or works in a trade. And I find that, and I don't want to be insulting to my Utah peeps, because Utah is absolutely gorgeous. The people there are so nice. I mean, no disrespect, but it is very different. Utah people are nice. They're the type of nice that they'll smile and be nice to your face. And then as soon as you turn around, it might be a different story.
Right.
Whereas I feel like in the East, you get a little bit of that East Coast abrasiveness here. And I find it very refreshing. Like, you always know where you stand with people.
Right.
Now, you will never have to wonder.
Right. Now, down here in the South, it is more kind of similar to Utah in that respect, that people are nice to your face. You got the Southern.
Bless your heart.
Exactly. Yeah, bless your heart, when that really means you're an idiot.
Like, go F off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the infrastructure is just drastically, drastically different. Mm-hmm. So in Utah, I mean, it's a desert, but it's not a desert in the way that you probably are thinking. Right. So at least northern Utah isn't. But it is very dry. There's not really like forests. That's not really a thing. It's mostly like wide open spaces and then like mountains, huge, gigantic mountains.
Right.
And the roads are all in a grid system, and are very spread out. And back East, you know, these are colonial cities.
Right. Right.
So very, very narrow streets, definitely not on a grid system. I mean, Benjamin Franklin may have spat on that piece of ground, so we had to move the street around it, right? So many trees. That is just, it still gets me. Like, in Utah, when you're driving down the highway, you can see the entire valley. You can see across the entire Great Salt Lake out of your car window. And here it's like forest on both sides.
Right.
And I just picture like Lewis and Clark coming around the bend in their canoe or something, because it just looks like it hasn't been touched, even though you're like in the middle of a city. It's really strange.
Yeah, that is something that I've gotten used to. So I used to live in Ohio when I was a kid, in suburbia, like a little suburb of Cincinnati, and then about 1999, 2000, we moved down here to North Carolina, and you know, one of the things I got used to was seeing the horizon. Like, you know, when the sun sets, it's like literally there on the horizon.
Yeah.
But here it's, you kind of got mountains and hills kind of like surrounding you. So you don't really see the expanse of the land like you do like out in the plains. So,
yeah.
And it's kind of weird and also kind of random. And also something I also, talked about on the previous podcast about storm chasing. So I went storm chasing in 2019 because I'm crazy. I mean, that's like the setup for disaster. Here I am, got a car that I'm making payments on, and I'm going to go across the country to go chase storms and whatnot and see tornadoes and such.
YOLO.
But, right. Exactly. That's definitely one of those bucket list things. But, it did pay off. I did get a couple good photos of tornadoes and storm structure
awesome.
And all that stuff. And I kind of want to do it again, but also kind of like, you know, my luck's going to run out. I'm going to flat tire or get the car totaled or something crazy is going to happen. But, that, and I've also, like I said, I got car payments. So that's not really smart to go drive around in that. But, yeah, just the land out in the plains, like, it's just so flat. And to me, it's like a different type of beauty that kind of is underrated, underappreciated. And I definitely got to visit places and Kansas and across the country that most people probably will never visit because they just stick to the interstates if they dare drive a car that long. But
right. One of my favorite cities in the United States is Omaha, Nebraska. And when I say that, people laugh. And I'm like, have you been to Omaha? Huh. Well, no. And I'm like, of course you haven't. But it is such an amazing city. And it's, I mean, nobody ever travels there. So if you want to get absolutely plastered drunk, you can do it for like $15, which is great. But no, there's so much to do, and it's such a fun little city that, like you said, it's just underappreciated because it's not somewhere that you typically think of.
Yeah, I've probably been through Omaha, but I didn't go through it in 2019, and I try to remember when the last time it might have been. I was probably like a little kid because we would vacation all over the country by car. We were floored.
Excellent.
Yeah, and my dad was the type that he would just drive and drive and drive and drive. And we got to go to all sorts of places by car, but we never really stopped anywhere. You know, it's kind of crazy. But we even went to Alaska by car, which is insane. That was insanely long, up through Canada and all that. It was like over 10,000 miles that we drove. I forget it was insane. So yeah, there's a lot of time. I got to hear the song Horse of No Name many, many times. So, and the irony, somebody at one of my previous jobs set that song to the hold music. Can you imagine being on the hold and hearing Horse of No Name?
Took you right back.
Right. I'm like, God, this is, I can't imagine, you know, what people were thinking when they heard that come on and were listening to that for 15 minutes. But so one other thing that I wanted to touch on was deconstructing your faith. And that was something that I've seen kind of a theme on several of your episodes. Mm-hmm. So I guess sort of like, as an overview, like what is that and what is the process that somebody would go through to begin doing that?
Yeah, so I think that's kind of a buzzword right now in the community of people that are leaving religion is deconstruction, mm-hmm. right? So to deconstruct something, you're not just dismantling it, but you're examining it as your piece by piece. And I think that term is really appropriate for people that are especially leaving high demand fundamentalist religions. Because with leaving a religion comes a faith crisis and comes an identity crisis. And so deconstruction is kind of that encompassing term for that whole process. Mm-hmm. And it really is just kind of examining each one of the beliefs and the narratives that you were taught, or believed, and deciding if you want to keep it or if you want to reframe it, or if there's some trauma that needs to be dealt with. And I'm almost 4 years out, and it is, I think, going to be a lifelong process. Because like you said earlier, especially when you're born and raised into a religion, like that starts at birth, mm-hmm. that indoctrination, which I know that's such a harsh term, but there's just no other word for it.
Right.
And it's not that everything that you learned in a religion is bad. That's certainly not the case with me in Mormonism, but a lot of it is harmful. A lot of it is abusive, and it has to be unlearned and reframed and dealt with, you know, with professionals in a lot of cases. That's what deconstructing is.
Okay. And that's sort of similar to one of the topics that I was reading over in one of the pagan books I was looking at, books about paganism, was sort of like questioning like your morals and your beliefs and whatnot. Not so much to challenge them, but to challenge yourself. Like, because in a lot of pagan religions, a lot of people are just kind of eclectic. They just kind of pick up different traditions and things from a large variety of different pagan religions. And it's kind of like a buffet sort of in a way. And gosh, I hate when I lose my train of thought. It's crazy. But yeah, you kind of challenge yourself. Like, are you practicing your religion? You're practicing your your traditions the way that you are, according to your own beliefs, and do they make sense with each other? I guess it's kind of like testing yourself, so to speak. I guess that's the way I took it. But yeah, and I do think, I see a lot of, maybe it's more of a trending thing, but maybe it's just because of social media and YouTube, but there's a lot of, YouTubers who are, who have gotten away from their religion, because they realized, well, one example, there's a channel called Joshua Fluke. He's like an IT guy, but his family was Pentecostal, and, you know, they did the whole speaking in tongues thing and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people see that stuff like with televangelists and whatnot. And I feel like the televangelists, in a lot of ways, they really probably do more harm than good. Especially certain ones that kind of come to mind. like, you know, the, I can't think of the guy's name, but the guy that has a scary face, I can't think of his name. He was kind of in the news there for a little while about the COVID-19 thing.
Is he the one with the snake?
Yes. I think.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know his name either, but yes, I just call him Snake Guy. He's the one that's like, I will, like, he lets the snake bite him, and then he's like, I'm healed by the power of Jesus. And it's like, what are you doing?
Wow. Yeah. It's a little much. And I think it does kind of hurt their cause. And I guess, and I think we both, listening to your podcast episode, I think we both agree that, you know, converting people is not good unless they want to willingly. Like, I think the idea of, and I see this like in a lot of mission work where they're going over and doing good things for these communities and like in countries in like Africa or whatnot, but they're also trying to convert them to Christianity or whatever denomination it is. And I think that part's not cool. If you want to do good things, you should be doing good things for the sake of doing good things and not trying to say, oh, by the way, here's your new house and your new school and here's your new religion sort of thing. Right.
It's kind of a new age of colonization in a way. And it is really harmful. Mm-hmm. But what I will say on the other side of that, one thing that I've tried to be cognizant of in the ex-Mormon community is that it's also not my responsibility to deconvert someone.
Right, exactly. It's not right. Yeah, exactly.
And that's hard because you're like, sometimes you're just talking to like a devout religious person and they're not making sense. And you know that you're not making sense to them either. And it's hard to find common ground because you just want to argue each other's points. Right. But that doesn't really help anyone. It's not our responsibility to break that shelf for them. And it's not their responsibility to save our souls. Like, you do you. The way that you practice your religion shouldn't affect the way I live my life. And the way I live my life should not affect the way you practice your religion.
Yeah, exactly. And I see a lot of the toxic stuff on Facebook. And really from some of my Facebook friends. They post a lot of anti-Christian stuff, and I'm just kind of rolling my eyes. It's like, you know, I don't think it does any good to, I guess, not really so much poke fun, but just really just outright attack people who are Christian because you see from your perspective, you see all the holes and whatever it is they believe or the hypocrisy of it all, because one, you're kind of looking at it from your own perspective and not theirs. And I think it's kind of like it just doesn't do any good. It's just kind of like the whole, all the memes from like, you know, from the Republican side, like all the political memes. It's like, it does nothing but piss people off from both sides of the aisle and accomplishes nothing.
It's so hard. And I am, I've definitely fallen into the trap of church bashing. I mean, I do it on my own show. And it's hard because for me, it's very personal. The church that I used to belong to was very harmful. And I think that any system that is harmful deserves to be held accountable.
Right.
Regardless of whether it's a church or not. However, there is a right and a wrong way to go about that. I don't know if I figured that out. Maybe I haven't, but again, it's kind of that separation of the people from the ideas or the beliefs and the believers. and it's a hard distinction. We're all just doing the best we can with the skills and the tools that we have, and we're doing it really imperfectly.
Right. Yeah, that is very true. But yeah, I think there's, I think all in all, I don't think there's any big grand answer to everything. That's for sure. I mean, just as much as people disagree with politics, they disagree with the beliefs and religion and the origin of everything. It's, is no end.
For sure.
But, yeah, well, we're coming up on an hour here, and I'd like, again, I don't want to hold you up all evening, and I certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast, and, I really appreciate you taking the time out this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure, and I will, we'll have to swap. I'll have to have you on the existential great. Ginger.
That'd be great. Yeah, anytime, just let me know. Yeah, so I will post a link to your podcast, which is on, let me pull that up, which is on White Horse Media Group, and that is therealwhmg.com/podcast/exes, if I can get this right, existential ginger.
Yep.
And I'll put the link in the description there so everyone can find it. And definitely check out the that episode, and I will also link everything down below in the description and on the website at spiritualgardening.net. Appreciate you, Therese. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully, yeah, we can, swap and, yeah, great. Great to have you on here, and hope you have a good rest of your evening.
Thank you. You too, Mike. Thanks.
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Gardening Podcast. Again, I definitely want a big thank you to Therese. You can find the Existential Ginger on White Horse Media Group, and that website is therealwhmg.com/podcast/existential-ginger. And of course, you can pull her up on Spotify and a whole host of different platforms. And if you have any questions, comments, or criticisms about today's episode or any of the other content, feel free to reach out. If you go to spiritualgardening.net and click on contact, you can find my email and contact me that way. You can also comment on our posts on the website. You can also find us on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/spiritualgardeningpodcast, you can also find us on Instagram by looking up spiritual.gardening. Be sure to subscribe and follow, and we appreciate all of our listeners, and hope everyone is doing well, staying safe, and thanks for listening again, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.